Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I love that verse. It's inscribed on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It's out of the Old Testament. And liberty is the will of God for lost mankind, for all of mankind. It's a universal message to be proclaimed, as the verse says there, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just above, or 1 mile up the Barrage Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd love to invite you to come to be with us, visit with us in any or all of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We have Sunday morning Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. At 11 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service. And then second and fourth Sunday nights, we have our second and fourth Sunday night preaching service. We sometimes have a missionary, or I'll preach something a little bit different. But anyway, we'd love to invite you to come and be with us there. I'd like to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty. And my son Noah is working on the technical side over there. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We want to say how much we appreciate all our listeners today, those who are listening in on right here on AM 1450, and those who are listening in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
Noah, I appreciate you welcoming our listeners today. There's so much going on in the world that I don't even really know where to start at. I want to talk today about the difference between a constitutional government and a bureaucratic government. And I'm going to be reading out of Romans chapter number 13. But first, there's another subject I was considering. I was looking, and I have been spending quite a bit of time trying to pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East. If you're a Bible student, you know that God's calendar really has nothing to do with the Mayan calendar, but it has everything to do with Israel, and especially that city called Jerusalem. And I was reading the other day over in Luke chapter number 21. Luke chapter number 21 has to do with the second coming of Christ. And one of the key indicators of Christ's coming, it has to do with events surrounding Jerusalem. In verse number 24, the Bible says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles." And of course, that took place early on in 68 A.D., 63 A.D., the exact date slipped my mind, but the Romans, they destroyed Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple, the Jewish people were literally led away captive into all nations. They were scattered abroad for almost 2,000 years, but that verse goes on down and says that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And it is a miracle if you study about the Jewish nation and how that they were scattered about for almost 2,000 years. Gentiles were the occupiers, the owners, you might say, of the land thereof. Actually, that whole land known today as the Holy Land was sparsely populated for generations, hundreds and hundreds of years, and really we could say that hardly anybody lived and occupied. Jerusalem was never occupied and made the capital of any other nation or any other people other than the Jewish people, and now they are back in the land. And the Bible says that Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there's some things I've been watching I just wanted to mention today before going on to our subject. If you're a Bible student, student of prophecy, if you're concerned about what's going on in the world, I've got something more up-to-date and reliable than the Mayan calendar, and that's to watch the little country of Israel and what's going on there. I've been watching Israeli-American relations. They are doing nothing but crumbling, actually. We were supposed to hold a joint military exercise in Israel. In fact, we already had sent about 9,000 troops over there. This was to start taking place in April, and there's a lot of American activity in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf. But anyway, that was called off. At first, it was said to be called off by the Obama administration because of budgetary constraints. And then today there was an article that said that it was actually called off by Netanyahu. And I could certainly understand him being leery of even America now, because so many times in the past 3 years we've sort of done them wrong. And so I'm sure there's not the trust there that there was once upon a time. And then there's Israel and the nations. On the 15th, 2 days ago, the United Nations Chief Moon, there's an article. It's very interesting if you wanted to find it and look it up. He is the UN chief. He made a speech in Lebanon, I believe it was. But anyway, in that speech, he demanded the Jews to give up Jerusalem, and he called Israel the occupiers. And that's very interesting. And so we're noticing there what's going on in the world. There's Israel and Iran. Many people believe this could be the start of World War III. Events are happening very fast over there in the Middle East. And so we're watching with interest the things that are going on. That'll tell you more about where we are on God's timetable than any other thing that is going on in the world. Luke 21 and verse 28 said, "And when these things begin to come to pass," talking about the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled, when the Gentiles would lose control over Jerusalem, that is already physically taking place, and the Jews are back in the land, but it is more so taking place in that Israel is more and more standing alone. And the Bible teaches, and I don't have time to go all into this today, but that all the nations will come against Israel and Jerusalem. And so we see the times of the Gentiles being fulfilled. And it said, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And so those are some interesting things we might be talking about in the future and looking at. And we never know from week to week when we come back what ground-shaking event could take place in the world. So we need to be, as the Bible says there, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We hope and pray you're ready. But anyway, we're going to go on. We might call it part two today because I really spent more time talking about that than I meant to. But I want to talk today and point out some things, the difference between a constitutional and a bureaucratic government. And I believe that's very important for us to understand. I believe there's about a division, a 50-50 division in America, maybe not even that much. But many people do understand what a constitutional government is and would like to get back to that. Others think they know what it is and talk about it, but they really don't take it far enough. And then there's others that really don't care whatsoever about it, and they'd like to just continue on the road that we've been going. And I've been watching and paying attention to the different candidates and all of these things. There is a lot of talk about the Constitution giving power back to the states, the federal government growing too big, and things like that. The United States government was actually birthed by a religion, and that religion is Christianity, or was Christianity. Christianity and its biblical principles gave us a constitutional government. That is the reason we have a constitutional government, or had one, in the very beginning. This is a fact of history. This is why our laws can go back literally, and we can point out several instances where our laws are based upon the laws that we find in the Bible, the Old Testament laws. many of our laws concerning crime, concerning land ownership or losing land, and thievery and paying back restitution. Lots of examples could be given from the Bible, from the Word of God. Our laws are based upon the Bible. Our system of checks and balances actually comes from the Bible. Moses' father-in-law told him that the work was too great for him. He needed to appoint out other able men who were able to have wisdom and know what to do. And so they divided up their government into a localized, limited government. And people could go to a ruler of 10 if they couldn't settle it. There was rulers of 50 and rulers of 100 and rulers of thousands. If they couldn't settle it, they'd go all the way to Moses. And our example of limited government comes from the Bible. Our system of checks and balances, our declaration of independence credits our Creator, whom under our Creator all men are created equal. That comes from the Bible, the Bill of Rights, freedom of religion. On and on we could go today. Many examples through history of where our history in America has Christian roots or biblical roots, not just the Christian, but we call it the Judeo-Christian history. And so we have parts from the Old Testament, the New Testament, from Jewish history, and from Christianity as well, but both originating from the Bible. This is the history of America, but our present form of government is a form of government that has evolved over the years. We have gone away from, little by little, especially in the past 100 or so years, we have gone away from a constitutional form of government to a bureaucratic form of government. This can also be traced back to a religion, not the religion of Christianity or Judaism, but to the religion of humanism. Humanism basically says to God, thanks but no thanks, we can handle this ourselves. We can take it from here. And we find examples of that in the Bible as well. It's as old, that type of thinking is as old as the Tower of Babel is. Over in Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 4, the Bible said over there, go to, this is what the inhabitants of Babel said, Nimrod's followers, they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. You notice there, they were very self-centered. They were very confident in their ability to carry on without the direction, without the guidance, without the influence of God Almighty. And they basically said, forget about the Lord. We'll do what we want to do. We'll make our own name. We'll make our own city. We'll make our own religion. That city speaks of a government. That tower speaks of a religion. And so over the past years in our nation, we have gone away from a constitutional government to a bureaucratic form of government. Our leaders, more and more, little by little, down through the years, and now we're seeing it just about every day. We're seeing the Constitution forgotten about, done away with, run over, illegalized. We're far away from it. You know, we need to look, I'm talking about as Americans, what I'm looking for when I'm looking for an elected leader. I don't believe that it's out of reason to look for elected leaders that are as faithful to the United States Constitution as I would look at a pastor and expect that pastor to be faithful to the Word of God. I would have no confidence in a pastor that said they were a pastor, that they believed the Bible, that they wanted to follow the Lord, but just never used the Bible, denigrated the Bible, done away with the Bible, never referenced to the Bible, you know, that said they didn't believe in the Bible, wanted to change the Bible. You know, I don't want a pastor like that. He's an apostate. Well, we wouldn't allow that, or we wouldn't want that in the church, or I hope you wouldn't, but we allow it in our government. We have people year after year, decade after decade, stand up and give lip service to the Constitution, but then they go right into office and they run roughshod over the Constitution, and they could really care less about it. So the difference between a constitutional government and a bureaucratic government, and I'm going to say a lot today in order to just basically make one point, but the difference between the two, a constitutional government believes in limited government. The Constitution limits the size, the power, the influence, the meaning, the purpose of the government. So you can't talk about constitutional government without talking about limited government. I heard somebody in the presidential debate last night talk about the Constitution, the role of government, the purpose of government was to provide and make sure of certain basic rights, the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursuit of happiness. This is the basic reason or purpose of government. And so constitutional government, when you think about that, that's what you're thinking about, rule of law. Following the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, limited government. You don't need a bureaucracy, but a bureaucracy comes from the word bureau. You probably don't, some of our listeners may not even know what that means, but a bureau is a desk. That's where the word bureaucracy comes from, is a desk. And I looked it up just for I don't usually get my definitions from dictionary.com, but sometimes I'll look just to see if they've varied or changed any words. This would be a modern-day definition, but the first one was pretty good. It said government by many bureaus. That's a lot of desks you've got to go through to get anything done, and I thought that's a pretty good definition. The word bureaucracy comes from the word desk or bureau, which is a desk. But then I went to Merriam-Webster's Collegiate 10th edition, and I looked up the word bureaucracy, and it said, gave a first definition as a body of non-elective government officials, or the second, an administrative policy-making group. We've got a lot of that in government today. And then it gave another definition, government characterized by specialization of functions. And that maybe sounds familiar to you. When you think about our government, there's literally no area of our life that the government does not touch, influence, regulate, legislate, from the air that we breathe to the roads that we drive on, the cars that we drive, the insurance we have, the doctors. I mean, there's nothing that we can do that the government does not touch in some way. A government characterized by specialization of functions. We've got a government entity for everything. And then I like this third definition. It said bureaucracy, a system of administration marked by officialism, red tape, and proliferation. I thought that was the best definition, the one I wanted to particularly use today. Bureaucracy, a bureaucratic government, is a system of administration marked by officialism, red tape, and proliferation. Proliferation is a good word to use there to describe what our government has been doing in the past several decades. To proliferate is to, what I would say, grow by leaps and bounds, exponentially growing, growing, growing. We've seen nothing but that. And you know, when Bush was in office, they come along and talked about how much he had spent, how much he'd put us in debt, how much he had grown government. We need some hope and change to get away from that. And now we're, I don't even know how many times bigger government is than it was just a few years ago. Proliferation, bureaucratic government. Now, technically and theoretically in America, we are still to be guided by a constitutional government. When our elected leaders are sworn into office, they don't swear to, you know, hey, I'll do the best I can. They take a particular oath. And that oath that they take is that they will defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Foreign is across the sea. Domestic is right here at home. So technically, we could say, you know, they are taking an oath. They're swearing that they're going to defend the Constitution. That is our form of government. Theoretically, if you hear any of them talking, oh, yeah, the Constitution says this when it suits them, and when it don't, then, you know, too bad. But practically and in reality, we in America are a bureaucracy. Now, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1 is a verse that is used many, many times to talk about the relationship of the Christian and the government. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." I heard a pastor a while back teaching out of the book of Romans 13, verse number 1. He gave the what I would call the standard line. Well, preacher, what does that mean? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. And it goes something like this. Obey the government. We don't like to pay taxes, but render unto Caesar what's due unto Caesar. So pay your taxes. Obey the government. Do what you're told. Well, that's fine and good. But who are they obeying? Who are the elected government officials obeying? Where does the bureaucracy get its authority to lord over the rest of the people? If they've been sworn to defend the Constitution, that should be where they're getting their authority off. But many today, many agencies, many legislators just disregard the Constitution. Proliferate themselves. Government's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Does that mean we still have to obey when those who are in authority are not obeying what they're supposed to obey? If you look closely at Romans 13 in verse number 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, here's where a lot of people make a mistake. They think that higher powers in Romans 13 in verse number 1 refers to the government. But I'll tell you, that is not what that refers to in America. Now, we're not in Mexico, Canada, Europe, Spain, Italy, Russia. I'm talking, I'm sure today, mainly to Americans. Our higher power in America, the law of the land, is the United States Constitution. It is not the government. When the government ceases to follow the higher powers, then there is a contradiction there. Who do I follow? Who do we obey? Do we obey the government that has left the law of the land, or do we, as Christians, obey the law of the land, which is the United States Constitution? I'm going to make a case that we'd better get back to a constitutional government. That is the only form of government that is actually technically that you are even able to obey. I'll point out what I mean by that. But it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That means the president needs to be subject unto the Constitution. The senators need to be subject unto the Constitution. The congressmen need to be subject unto the Constitution. The sheriff needs to be subject unto the Constitution. And the military needs to be subject. And right on down the line, everybody. I took an oath when I joined the United States military to obey, to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. That is because it is the bedrock of our society, our government. It's the law of the land, and it's a good constitution. There's no other one like it in the world, although since then many countries have wanted to imitate and apply the things that they found in our Constitution. That says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now, as a Christian, it is only possible to obey a constitutional government. It is impossible to obey a bureaucracy. And let me just give you an illustration of what I mean by that. It is impossible to obey a bureaucratic government. Why do you say that? Well, have you ever called the IRS and asked them a question? Doesn't matter what the question is, just call and ask them anything. Call and ask the IRS a question. You have a question on your taxes. That's a arm of the government. That's a part of the administration. You know, that's all part of it. Well, you call and you ask a question. Well, call back the next day and ask the same question. You will not get the same person. You're going to get another person because it's so big, it's so huge, the tax code is so large. Call and ask somebody else, you know what, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a different answer. That's how a bureaucracy is, red tape, officialism, proliferation. And every year we have more and more and more laws that are passed, and it's impossible to keep up with all of the laws. The last 2 weeks, I dealt with the subject of the National Defense Authorization Act and how that this was a treacherous, traitorous piece of legislation passed by our Congress, our Senate, and our President because it takes the subject of being an American citizen and being arrested without a charge, being detained without a trial of jury before your peers. If the government says you're a threat, then you can just be taken away, no charge, no lawyer, held indefinitely, imprisoned against your will, no representation. That's what dictatorship countries do. But now, since then, and I talked about that, and that even came up last night on the presidential debate that I was watching there. Ron Paul, I'll just tell you quickly, my time's about gone. Ron Paul said, this is big. He said, this is bad, and he would overturn it. Rick Santorum was asked about it. He said that it shouldn't be that way. There's already laws in place. I like what he had to say about it. Mitt Romney said, I'd sign it just as it is. And so look at these candidates and what they say about things. But there's another piece of legislation. It's called the Enemy Expatriation Act. And it's being debated right now. And with the Enemy Expatriation Act, they can take a person's American citizenship away if they are deemed by the government to be a threat to the government. And there's a lot of playing room in there. There's a lot of room in there for rounding up political prisoners, and that's been done in other countries. All this is being done under the guise of fighting terrorism. And, you know, Mitt Romney said this. He said, well, we elect men as president who are men of character, and I don't believe the president would ever abuse that. He said, I would certainly never abuse that power. Can't you just hear Hitler or somebody else saying, well, we're going to pass these Nuremberg laws, but we're not going to abuse this? You know, anybody who knows history knows that the Nazis in Germany, they did things legally. All of those atrocities, they had gone beforehand and passed the laws before they did it. And so then when they started rounding up Jews, and it wasn't just the Jews, they rounded up anybody who opposed what they were doing. And they did it under the guise of, you know, they called it Homeland Security. Isn't that interesting? They called what they were doing Homeland Security. And isn't that interesting? That's a phrase that's just about used now every day in America. Comes right out of Nazi Germany. Homeland Security is going to do this and going to do that. I mean, sometimes I look around at what's going on in the world and in America, and I think to myself, are people stupid that they don't see what is going on in the world? And as I've studied history, I've noticed this. There's usually always somebody comes along, rings the warning bell, lifts their voice, says, people, you better pay attention, you better pay attention, and people don't pay attention. And you can go all the way from the Old Testament prophets up to read the story of the hiding place, Corrie ten Boom. Read the story of Bonhoeffer in Germany. He was a Lutheran pastor that tried to tell people Hitler's a bad person. We'd better pay attention. Well, my time has quickly come and gone today. Oh, if you're a Christian, pray, pray, pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God would have mercy upon our country and help us to be wise and have wisdom. Well, my time's quickly come and gone today. I appreciate you listening in. Noah's going to come give the contact information, and we thank you once again for listening today.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.